coming to you loud and clear from our safe and germ-free homes and on Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Carl Christensen, filling in for Tom Clark, and as always, we're here to talk with you about what's new in healthy living, share some down-to-earth advice and great lifestyle tips to help you get the most out of life. As usual, Zorba, we have a couple topics to talk about.
Yes, doctors and fake news, information that comes on the internet. How do we deal with it when a patient brings us in information? And basically, we have to decide whether it's real or not real, but more or less, they have to decide that. Some interesting information from the British Medical Journal. And the Mediterranean diet, it works if you have enough money, but what if you don't have enough money? And how useful is it at that time?
And what is our special recipe today?
Avocado, chickpea, tuna salad. I love avocados. I love chickpeas, and I love really good tuna. So if you like tuna, avocado, and chickpeas, you will love this recipe.
Since we're doing this show remotely again from our homes, we're not able to actually have live callers on the show. But we have been sifting through the many, many voicemails you've left us, and Zorba will be answering your questions throughout the program. I'm also happy to announce later in the show, we will be hearing from Tom Clark and his kitchen for the recipe segment.
And really does have a kitchen. He actually has a kitchen.
It's a real
he
kitchen.
He will be in his kitchen, safe and sound.
Let's kick off the calls today with a twofer. We're going to hear from two callers who have questions about masks. The first caller is from Jacksonville, Florida. Second caller is from Lynn Township, Wisconsin. So let's hear it.
My question is this. It has to do with the coronavirus. I always wear masks. My wife does, too. If we go into any kind of store, doctor's office, anything, Home Depot, we always wear a mask. But I wondered, I see people wearing masks out of doors in the sunshine. I would have thought that the sunshine would kill the coronavirus, and I'd rather not wear a mask outdoors when we take our husky and my wife in the wheelchair for a long walk. Two or three times a day. Is it all right not to wear a mask out of doors? Thank you very much.
My question is, I'm 68 and I have three of the hallmark characteristics of that make me vulnerable to infection and dying from COVID-19. My question is, why shouldn't I wear a mask prophylactically if I'm not infected? I socially distance myself to as great an extent as one can do. And the only store I go into is a little deli at the top of the lane where nobody has been wearing masks or gloves. And they are greeting hundreds of people a day who also come in with no masks. And I keep hearing from doctors and scientists, CDC epidemiologists, that you wear a mask to protect others from you in case you're infected. And so wearing a mask prophylactically seems to be a smart thing to do. I just would like your comment on that, Zorba.
Well, they're definitely 100% correct. First of all, the greatest risk factor for dying of COVID-19, the coronavirus, is age. So the older you are, the greater the risk factor. So somebody who is in their 60s has a greater chance of dying than in their 50s, than in their 40s and 30s and so on. So we want to get that out of the way. That's really important. So what do masks do? Well, I want to go back a little bit. My mother taught me to wash my hands every time I went into the washroom. Didn't your mommy, Carl, didn't your mom teach you that, Carl?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you go in, you wash your hands, you want to keep everything safe. And you're not just washing your hands for you, because if you have germs on you, who do you care about washing your hands? You're washing your hands for others, right? I mean, you are your own germs. You're doing what your mom said to do. It's good citizenship. And so this whole idea that masks are a political statement to me is poppycock. Masks are not a political statement. They're doing what your mother would say, which is washing your hands, wearing a mask. Now, if you're going into the store, does the mask protect you? No, not really. It really doesn't. It protects others who may have COVID, but it also protects you from others if you have COVID. I'll give you a perfect example. Really, really good friend of mine in Sun Valley. I've known for many years in her 80s. They're doing a study in Sun Valley because there's a high prevalence of COVID, higher than they would expect, because a lot of people from California have flown up there in their private jets to Sun Valley and brought with them COVID. And so they wanted to find out how much COVID was around. Lo and behold, she was picked as part of the test and was done at a reference laboratory. She has COVID. She's in her 80s. She said, you know, sometime in March, I sort of had the sniffles and a sore throat. I guess I had COVID too. So when you wear a mask, you are protecting others from you. And that's important. The other thing you're doing is when you're wearing a mask, people may stay away from you because you're wearing a mask. Also, it's going to maybe keep you a little bit from touching your face, because as you put your hand closer to your face, that'll make a difference too. Now, as for going up to that deli where there are lots of people in the deli and you're in close quarters, and everyone is protecting yourself, if you are worried about COVID, as many of us are, including me, that may not be the right place to shop.
Okay, Zorba, how about the first caller who was wondering about just the whole outdoors thing and wearing a mask in the outdoors? What's your take on that?
The chances of spreading COVID in the outdoors are less. But the answer is, if you are social distancing 6 feet away, you don't have to wear a mask. I mean, you're social distancing, you're 6 feet away. But when you're walking outdoors, people are walking around and they may be closer than 6 feet. And so for there, that's it. But if you're 6 feet away from people walking down the road, I often do that with a friend of mine, you definitely do not have to have a mask on.
800-462-7413 is the number to call if you'd like to leave a voicemail for the good doc to answer. And Zorba, let's get into our first topic today: how doctors and the medical community are dealing with all the misinformation that's floating around regarding the pandemic.
Not in the best way. So first of all, this is an article. There are a couple of articles. This article was in the British Medical Journal, and it was looking at YouTube downloads, and they were looking at real news and news that was not news. And when I say real news and not news, I'm talking about the treatment of COVID and prevention of COVID that is scientifically based, and the treatment of prevention of COVID that is not scientifically based, but appears to be scientifically based. In other words, anecdotal information like, I heard so-and-so is better with this, so that must mean it works. It's useful. And I'm a scientist, medical scientist. I believe in science. We don't have all the answers by any means, but we've got to be able to differentiate one and the other. And it turned out in this particular study, 1 out of 4 YouTube downloads was fake. In other words, the information there that purportedly was scientific, that looked like it was scientifically medically based, it was in fact not scientifically and medically based. So what's the problem here? Well, first of all, I think if you want to give anecdotal information, I heard this worked for so-and-so, why don't you try it? I think that's just fine. But if you say, I think this worked for so-and-so, therefore it works, that's a different issue. Because what are you implying when you're saying, therefore it works? You're implying that there's something behind that besides your opinion that something is actually working. Want to give your opinion on YouTube? Awesome. Want to state in a quasi-scientific way that that opinion is actually based on science? Not awesome, because a certain number of people are actually going to believe that information and do things. And I'll give the perfect example. When the president talked about bleach, and he talked about bleach in a very general term, the state of Maryland got something like 1,000 calls about whether or not they should actually use bleach in one way or another, not just in their house, but actually in their body. And the answer was, once you gave out information like that, it became a very, very difficult environment to work with. So we want to work with good information. If it's information that's anecdotal, I think it works, then you state that out in the open. But I think it's buyer beware when it comes to any information that we see on YouTube, on the web, unless it comes from a reliable source. And that's exactly what this study showed. And there was another study in Nature, a separate study completely, that actually showed a very similar thing. So take it from reliable, respectable sources. The ones that I use are Johns Hopkins University, Mayo Clinic, University of Wisconsin, Wisconsin Public Radio, National Public Radio, and I look at New York Times, Wall Street Journal, because I like to get two, editorially, they're very, very different newspapers, and I like to get both ways of looking at a topic. That's the best way for me to make a decision.
So Zorba, as a practicing doctor who's still, seeing patients, whether that's virtually or in the office, do you sometimes get patients who say, oh, I heard this, X, Y, or Z could maybe help with COVID, and how do you deal with that?
Well, I get it all the time. And actually, I welcome that. I think that's a great idea. In fact, that's kind of what we're doing on the show. Like, what do you think about it? Because people want my take because they know that my take is going to be scientifically based. Because if they didn't want my take, they'd be turning the channel and listening to something else.
Right. 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. And Zorba, you are always, almost daily now, posting on the Zorba Pastor on Your Health Facebook page. So please do check there for Zorba's most up-to-date posts surrounding the pandemic. And you can also leave your questions there, and maybe we'll get to them on a future show.
And I've got lots of good feedback on that. A lot of people have told me, first in Madison, where I live, and elsewhere, they say, we really appreciate that because on Facebook, we can actually update things that are contemporaneous at the moment and comment on it. Some important things, because when it comes to COVID and coronavirus, lots of stuff comes up every day. And go to our Facebook page, and you can see what it is. And by the way, we had a tremendous number of hits when we talked about masks on Facebook, because that's one of the questions that people have want lots of information, and they have lots of questions about.
All right, let's get back to the phones now. Here is a voicemail from a caller in Franklin, Wisconsin.
Hi. When I do my weekly grocery shopping, when I bring all my vegetables and fruit home, I clean them right away. And I've been reading time and time again that you should not do it. You should not clean them until you're going to eat them. So I wanted to find out what the reason for that was. And then also, when I buy a head of broccoli, sometimes the little flowerets are white underneath, and I don't know if I should be trimming that area away and if there is actually any nutritional value in that. Thank you.
Really good questions. You know, when it comes to cleaning your veggies, I think clean them, put them in your refrigerator, you're fine. The idea that you have to clean them just before you eat is really based on the fact that you may have gone in and out of the refrigerator and not cleaned your hands. And so you just might have dirt or something else on your hands, or maybe you went outside and you actually touched something that had COVID. But I think cleaning the veggies before they go in the refrigerator is absolutely fine. And then if you want to give it a little rinse when you take it out of the refrigerator, like I do, I think that's good too. As for the broccoli and the florets, sure, they have fiber. And broccoli is a flower. It's an edible flower. So those florets are just opening up. They have the same fiber, the same vitamins, the same minerals. They may be slightly different in terms of a calorie because energy is going to opening up the flower, but you don't have to trim them. Eat them if you like the taste of them, which I do. Just, you know, do what you do with broccoli. Either eat it raw or steam it.
And I knew this call was coming, obviously, and I knew we were going to talk about broccoli a little bit. So I did write a broccoli joke. Do you want to hear my broccoli joke real quick?
Hey, I'll hear broccoli. Is that a knock-knock joke?
Yeah, it's not a knock-knock joke. Just your classic run-of-the-mill broccoli joke. You've heard a lot of them, I'm sure.
Of course. As a doctor, as a radio person, that's all I hear is broccoli jokes.
It's all next broccoli jokes.
Next to cauliflower and carrot jokes. I mean, those are the number of jokes I ever hear. Because, okay, you know, it's veggie jokes.
All right, let me give this a shot here. What did the broccoli drag racer say when she was asked how she planned on winning the upcoming drag race?
I have no idea.
I'm a floret.
I have a question. Did this joke come from one of your children? That's what I want to know.
I could only hope. Someday, maybe. I mean, they're only 2 and 5, but maybe the 5-year-old.
Hey, you know what? You know, it may not be SNL. It may be something that you do in the middle of the day, like Kids Night Live.
800-462-7413 is the number. And Zorba, you know, with so many people working from their homes now, we've actually created a new segment on the show. It's called Everybody's Working from Their Homes Now. And last time we heard from a little slice of my life about what my kids are, you know, barging into my office while I'm trying to work. This week, Zorba, we're going to hear how you work and how your work days are now that you're mostly working from home. So, yeah, this is called Everybody's Working from Their Homes Now.
Everybody's working from their homes now.
I really miss much. I really love you. I'm going to give you a little squishy hug. When this all passes, I'm going to give you a really, 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 really squishy hug. Love you.
That's my granddaughter. That was Bella, one of my four grandchildren. That is really great. Your voice, it's such a nice little squeaky voice. It's really great.
Yeah, your son, Zach, he sent us a little audio message for you, for Grandpa.
We can see her virtually, but we don't go near her. I mean, we're doing the same thing with socially distancing. So we do a virtual hug. We kind of dance in front of each other, but we haven't really done it. We haven't hugged each other. That's funny.
That's great.
I love it. It made me smile.
So how have your work days changed now that you're still, a practicing doctor? What's it like now? What's your day-to-day like with patients?
Well, first of all, I'm doing telemedicine. I'm not going into the office. I've been banished from my office because I'm 72. And they said, look, we don't need you in the office now. We can handle it. Why don't you do the telemedicine? And the other things we do as doctors, refill prescriptions, answer laboratory questions. So I do all of that stuff from being in my house. I miss the work environment. I miss, getting up. I do get up when I do this. I get up in the morning. I put on my shirt. I do wear blue jeans in the house, but nobody can see my blue jeans. I wear a shirt and I wear a tie. I wear a bow tie when I'm actually doing my telemedicine. So I feel like I'm actually kind of in an office. I want to sort of step up to the plate. I'm not going to wear a t-shirt and sweats when I do it. It's part of a ritual. But it's the interaction with people. And although Zoom gives you some interaction more than a telephone, it's not the same as being in the room. And so we sort of have to look at that and see how we're feeling. But the other issue is this. Telemedicine is here to stay. There's some things that are going to be very, very useful. And someone once told me that every catastrophe has an opportunity. And to me, finding out where telemedicine is working really helps me on work day. The other thing is when I want to have lunch, I go over to the refrigerator. I can't go across the street to get Chinese food. It's the food that I bought in the refrigerator. So there's no surprise. And then, of course, I get to sit down and have coffee with my wife in the middle of the day.
Sure.
And to get to do that, I don't have to commute, although my commute is 7 minutes. There's no commute in there. I walk the dog in between patients. So that's kind of how I spend my day. And then sometimes I will Zoom with my granddaughter, who just talked to me on the radio.
800-462-7413 is the number to call with your question. And we're getting lots of great questions from callers, and we'll be hearing some more of those throughout the show. But before we take a break, Zorba, we always appreciate our listeners posting on our Facebook page. So time again for Facebook feedback.
Facebook feedback.
And as I mentioned, Zorba, you've really upped your presence on the Facebook page. So right now, that is the best place for listeners to get the most up-to-date information that you're posting about for this pandemic. Here's actually an interesting home remedy that came from a listener named Gabby in Washington State. Gabby writes, "My son and I both suffered greatly from nighttime leg cramps. My doctor said to increase potassium, but cautioned not to take too much in the form of supplements. I started eating 2 ounces of potato every other day, and the cramps stopped. 2 ounces isn't very much, and I can put them in my eggs for breakfast or add them to a main dish later. When this, quote, bad beer virus came roaring in," and I think she means she doesn't like Corona, the beer.
Bad beer, right.
The yeah, bad beer virus. Right. Anyways, when the virus came roaring in, I brought my son to my home in the woods because he has a compromised respiratory system. Mm-hmm. Since I cook, he eats what I do. Guess what? No more leg cramps for him.
Exactly. And potatoes are great. Potatoes are a really good source of potassium. 2 ounces of potatoes, not a lot of potatoes every other day or every day, but if potatoes take care of it, by all means do it. Sometimes leg cramps are caused by a lack of potassium. And the reality is when you look at the treatment for leg cramps, there's so many different things that are available on the market. We used to think that quinine worked. It doesn't work, but that was the leading drug that was used. But a whole bunch of folk remedies for leg cramps. And frankly, those folk remedies are better than any medical remedy that we have because we do not have a good medical remedy for leg cramps. Restless leg syndrome, yes. Leg cramps, no.
What about those mustard packets? We've talked about that on the show before.
Oh, yes. I remember those mustard packets. Now, did you put the mustard on your leg or did you eat it? I can't really remember.
You take out your best butter knife. No, you eat it, apparently.
That's right. You eat it. That's
Got a
right.
lot of emails about
And it had
that
to be
one.
From the packets. It yep. couldn't be from mustard in there. It had to be from the packets. But you
don't
want to
chug a bottle.
Leg cramps, If it works and it does not cause you harm, by all means, do it.
Thanks for all the Facebook comments. And if you have a question or comment to add to the show, don't forget you can always send us an old-fashioned email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
All right. Many more of your calls to come. We'll hear from Tom Clark during our special recipe segment. And Tom will be quacking up with Dr. Zorba as well. All that coming up on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Carl Christensen filling in for Tom Clark on Zorba Pastor on Your Health for this special remote home edition of the program. Now, we know you don't just listen to the show to get Zorba's healthy living advice. You also come here for the tasty recipes. So let's head over to Tom Clark's storied kitchen, where Zorba and Tom are busy cooking up an avocado chickpea tuna salad.
Thanks, Carl. 1-800-462-7413, our number, if you'd like to talk with Zorba. But Zorba, before our next call, avocado chickpea tuna salad.
That's right. From your kitchen, Tom. From your kitchen. I mean, our listeners think that you do not have a first-rate kitchen, but you've got, you've got that Sub-Zero, you've got the Wolf stove.
You know what, though? I don't have any room for avocados. So.
That's right. Avocados. You don't like avocados very much, do you? Not your favorite thing?
No. I don't. No,
that's right. I love avocados. And if you look at how many people love avocados these days, there's more and more avocados. I think the per capita consumption of avocados has gone up something like fourfold over the last decade. So, Tom, I have to tell you, you are behind the times.
Once again, I've washed up.
That's exactly it. Well, this is avocado chickpea tuna salad. So, I mean, tuna is sort of one of those standards. Isn't it something that you would eat for years, tuna salad?
Yeah.
So, okay. So we're going to start out, and I want to talk a little bit about tuna. 5 ounces of canned tuna, drained and flaked apart.
5 ounces canned tuna fish, drained and flaked apart.
And there's something about tuna. Now, first of all, when I buy tuna now, I do not buy water-based tuna. And the reason is I want to have a little bit more of that oil in it. I really like if there's olive oil or something within it. I think it just adds more taste. And frankly, it's not a ton of oil that's in with the tuna. And then sometimes I'll actually go and buy a better grade of tuna that you can get in specialty shops. So instead of paying, we'll say, $2 for a can of tuna, $2.20, I'll pay $4.20. Actually, we'll pay more money. And I think the tuna actually tastes better. So pick the tuna that you like for this. Mm-hmm. 1 15-ounce can of chickpeas rinsed and drained. Very important to rinse it and drain it.
15-ounce can, chickpeas, rinsed and drained.
One avocado, we're going to call it a Tom Clark avocado, peeled and diced.
An avocado peeled and diced.
That's right. Scoop it out, peel it, dice it. A quarter cup of diced onion. I usually use red onion because I like the way it looks, but it doesn't matter what kind of onion.
That's a quarter cup diced onion.
A quarter cup of toasted almonds. So you can buy some almonds toasted, or if not, just buy some almonds and toast it yourself. Very important, a 1/4 cup.
1/4 cup toasted almonds.
And 2 tablespoonfuls of chopped flat leaf parsley.
2 big tea, chopped flat leaf parsley.
Now, for the vinaigrette itself, which basically is the thing that's going to surround it, start out with 2 tablespoonfuls of lemon juice. Make sure it is fresh.
2 big tea lemon juice.
2 tablespoonfuls of champagne vinegar. If you don't have champagne vinegar, you could use apple cider vinegar. Champagne is the best. Or if you really like lemon juice, you could make that 2 more tablespoonfuls of lemon juice.
2 big tea, champagne vinegar, or more lemon juice.
That's right. 1 tablespoonful of Dijon mustard.
Big tea, Dijon mustard.
1 tablespoonful of olive oil.
Big tea, olive oil.
1 tablespoonful of honey or maple syrup.
a tablespoon honey or maple syrup.
And kosher salt, if you've got it, or fresh ground sea salt and some fresh ground black pepper. Don't use anything when it comes to pepper except for fresh ground.
Kosher salt, fresh ground black pepper to taste.
Okay, now this is a very complex recipe. You've got to put your thinking cap on. You've got to concentrate really hard. Now,
it's only an hour show, Zorba.
It's only an hour show. We have to drag it on. I'll do it as quickly as possible. In a large bowl, combine the salad ingredients, okay? That's number one.
Yeah.
Whisk together the vinaigrette ingredients in another bowl. That's number two, okay? Pour them over the salad. That's number three, okay? Got it? You're smiling. I think you could follow this. And toss everything together and taste for seasoning, maybe adding some salt and pepper if you need it.
You say serve three.
Yes, serve three. I wanted to make it an odd number because that's what I thought. I thought it would serve three. You know, we're used to even numbers like serves four, serves two, serves three.
Yeah.
Why not serve? I mean, why not do a prime number? Serves 1, 3, 5, 7, or 11. I think that's what we need. You know what? We need recipes with servings that are only prime numbers. Let's get rid of these divisible by twos, right?
That's right. That's right. So to get this recipe,
I bet that people can go to their phone, their smartphone, or go to their computer and go to ZorbaPastor.org. That's ZorbaPastor.org. You can get this recipe and a bunch of other recipes. You can see pictures of Tom, pictures of me. You can see all the things for Wisconsin Public Radio. Remember, that's ZorbaPastor.org. And don't forget, we're on Facebook.
800-462-7413 is our number. But Zorba, before I hand the reins back to Carl, it's time again to kick off our comfy sneakers, trudge our way through the muddy waters of medical quackery. This is Quacking Up with Dr. Zorba.
Quacking Up with Dr. Zorba.
Okay, Zorba, a lot of people have been comparing the coronavirus pandemic to the influenza outbreak of 1918.
Right, right.
Oh, that explains it. That's why Carl has me sitting in this time, because he sees 1918 as when I was a young kid. I have a good memory. And so if you make any mistakes here, I'll correct you.
That's right. I got it. You are, in fact, 124 years old. It's amazing. It's amazing how old you are. You know, you look back to 1918, and it was a totally different pandemic in certain ways. We didn't understand a lot. We understood that it was a virus called influenza. It killed people in the prime of their age. Not older people the way this one does. It killed people in their 20s. There was a lot of fake news. And I don't know if fake news sounds familiar, but one of them, it was onions. So I'm going to read you something I looked up. It's a poem. An onion car arrived today, labeled red, white, and blue. Eat onions plenty every day and keep away the flu.
That's from 1918?
Yeah. In other words, if you ate onions, you kept away the flu. Now, you
got
know,
it. Yeah.
Maybe it worked because it kept other people away from you because basically you smelled like onions. So nobody wanted to be there at all. But there was a lot of stuff. You know, whiskey was thought to be a traditional remedy for colds and influenza. So drink whiskey every day. So people were actually getting drunk because they thought actually that would help the flu. And the idea was that alcohol would actually do it. There were a whole bunch of other fake things that were actually involved when it came to influenza, because we really didn't know exactly how to stop it. What ultimately stopped it was there was social distancing. We didn't realize that really was an important thing to happen. There was no immunization because we had no immunity. And then, frankly, a lot of people with influenza died. And so you had herd immunity. The ones that survived, hey, they weren't able to take it on. They didn't get it anymore because they had those antibodies. But I think we have to be careful. You know, there's just a lot of fake information out there right now, and it's hard for some people to tell the difference. So let's talk about this since we're talking about quacking up. There was a lot of quackery in the 1900s, 1800s, a lot of quackery in 1918. And frankly, there's a lot of quackery now. The thing that protects you from getting COVID is not coming into contact with somebody with COVID. We know that works. So we know right now that social distancing works. And the problem is we don't know if the antibodies that people are getting for COVID will keep them safe. The jury is out on that because the testing is imperfect. So, you know, maybe onions are the way to go. I don't know. Are you going to start eating more onions?
I don't know. I don't think so. This may be unfair, Zorba. I'm trying you out with one. Are we going back to normal too soon, or should we be keeping up our...
No, I think what happens is a way of going back to normal in sort of regimented way, looking at the number of outbreaks we actually have as we go back to normal, is the way to do things. We can't stay shut down completely as a society forever because we just can't do that. It's not possible. So I think this idea of a graduated return of going back to a normal situation, looking at where the outbreaks are, which means more testing, and then having people self-segregate when something occurs, I think that's the way to do it. But frankly, Tom, this is a science and evolution. I've never seen this in my time. I know you're not 124 years old. You've never seen it in your time either. And I think that we're just going to have to sort of feel our way back to normalcy.
Do you have an example of medical quackery to contribute to the show? Post it on our Facebook page or just send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
Okay, Zorba, sending it back now to Carl, and I'll get back to the kitchen where I'm perfecting the tastiest whole food recipe.
Tom's Tasty Tofu. We ought to have that on the show one day when it exists.
Thanks, Tom. 800-462-7413 is the number to call if you'd like to leave us a question. And let's get back to some more of those voicemails. Here is a caller from Hustisford, Wisconsin.
I'd like to know why Zorba is not addressing the issue of herd immunity. We've got enough data now to make a determination how this virus is progressing. The virus is not going away anytime soon, and we need to learn how to live with it until a vaccine is developed. Please have Zorba address this. Thank you.
Right on. Well, number one, until the vaccine is developed, and number two, if a vaccine is developed, kind of both things that are there. And herd immunity is when you have enough people within a particular herd, in other words, population, who have immunity, and therefore things are not spread as easily. So a perfect example is measles. So we have a number of people who basically, because they received the measles vaccine or had measles many years ago, essentially have antibodies to measles. So it's harder to spread unless you're in a community which doesn't have any antibodies for measles. And that occurred in places in Washington State, New York State, around New York City, among different groups that really did not believe in immunization. But getting back to the COVID issue, we don't have herd immunity now, for among other things, because we don't know if the antibodies that we're beginning to see to COVID actually are enough to actually make sure you don't get COVID again. We don't know that. This is science and evolution. Science is messy, and biological science is much messier than chemistry and much, much messier than physics. And so we don't know when we're going to have herd immunity. Should happen in the future. Happens with other pandemics, happens with other things, and I hope it's going to happen here. But right now, the data is not there. But I want to jump in for a minute on how we actually measure it. The problem when we do tests are no test is perfect. So there is a false positive and a false negative. So a real positive is the test says I have antibodies and I have antibodies, okay? But a certain percentage of the time, the test says you have antibodies, but you don't. In other words, there's a mistake. So you want to make sure you're using a good test. So if it says you have antibodies, you really have them. But importantly, if you look at it from a point of view of COVID, you want to make sure the COVID test, if it says you have COVID, so you should make sure that you quarantine yourself for 2 weeks. Okay, you've got COVID. You don't want to miss anyone a false negative that says you don't have COVID when you really do. And that's the problem right now with testing. It's the Wild West. The tests are intermittently good. We don't know which one is actually going to turn out to be the gold standard. And certainly over the next couple of weeks and couple of months, we'll work more. But that's how science is working in the middle of this epidemic. We know one thing. We know that social distancing flattened the curve and kept the numbers from doubling and tripling from where they are today. And we also know that when enough people end up having antibodies to COVID, if it follows other things that they actually are then immune from getting COVID, then things will be able to lift and will be able to return to normal. And your guess is the same as my guess as to when that will happen.
1-800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Okay, Zorba, as we just heard, we get so many calls from wonderful listeners, so many great questions, but we also get calls from helpful listeners offering up their comments or health tips. So this is called Caller Comments.
This is a bunch of caller comments, people calling us with their health tips.
Thanks, we appreciate it.
Yes, we do appreciate that. Okay, Zorba, we have a helpful comment from a caller in Pewaukee, Wisconsin.
I have a comment that I do love the Dr. Zorba and Tom show. I do want to just mention that during this time of COVID-19, now is a very good time, and it is very safe to give blood, and they are in dire need. So people can check with the Red Cross website. It is a perfect time to go give blood. They do test you before you go into the regular giving area and survey area with your temperature and a couple of questions. But it's a very easy process and a lot quicker than it used to be. And, of course, there's always a survey, so they want to make sure that you're healthy to be able to give blood. So please do so. And if Dr. Zorba and Tom could stress this on one of your next shows, it would be much appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, the blood drives are really important, and a lot of blood drives take place on college campuses. People are not on college campuses. Young people often give blood. Why? Because they're young. So they can easily give blood. They often don't have medical problems. And it's a real issue now. And the Red Cross is definitely in the need of blood. And they're right. You will not get COVID from getting blood. The Red Cross is doing things in an incredibly safe manner. And this is very similar to the problems they had when the HIV crisis first hit, that people stopped giving blood because they were afraid that giving blood would actually cause HIV. When you're stuck with a needle by the Red Cross, it's a one-time needle. It's sterile. The whole environment is sterile. The environment is kept incredibly clean. So please, by all means, give blood.
800-462-7413 is the number to call. That's 1-800-462-7413. And after the break, we're going to have plenty more of your questions to get to. Another interesting topic to discuss. All right here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX. The Public Radio Exchange. Carl Christensen filling in for Tom Clark on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. And the number to call is 800-462-7413 if you have a question. But before we hear from more of our listeners, Zorba, it's no secret you love the Mediterranean diet. Tell us about a study that suggests maybe the most important ingredient to get all those benefits of the Mediterranean diet is money?
Yeah, money may actually be part of it. First of all, by the way, money is an ingredient in longevity overall. We know that once you get to be in America, solidly middle class, where you've got some extra money, you can take a vacation and so on, you live longer and you're more likely to live a healthier life and have less disability. And this particular study kind of shows a similar thing. You know, the Med diet is the king of diets. There's no doubt about it. People along the Mediterranean Sea, plentiful fruits and vegetables, often have fish as their protein, less beef and so on. But this was a particular study out of Italy, 19,000 men and women, and the Italians know how to cook, right? They know how to cook. They know how to eat. They know how to enjoy their food. They know how to have a good time when they're enjoying their food. And what they found was, in addition to the regular variables, they eat a Mediterranean diet. I mean, that's what most Italians end up eating. But they found out there was another factor, and the factor had to do with money, that people who ate a in a Mediterranean diet, as they do around there, but had more money, were more likely to actually live longer. And then they wanted to look at exactly what these variables were. Well, if you have more money, means you're less likely to engage with, say, a manual labor job, but they took that out of the equation and controlled for that. And if you have more money, you may have a different housing situation. They took that out and they controlled for that. And what they think they found out was that if you have more money, you're more likely to eat better fruits and vegetables. So I'll give you an example. Potatoes are a vegetable, right?
I think so. Is it?
Yeah, I think so. It's a vegetable. It's a nice vegetable. French fries are a way to cook potatoes, right?
Sure. So when I'm eating French fries, I'm eating vegetables?
Yeah, that's right. You are eating vegetables, but it's not a good vegetable, right?
Okay,
it's not
as good.
How about potato chips, right? Potato chips are a vegetable, not healthy for you.
Sure.
So it really depends on how you eat it. Now, potatoes aren't an expensive vegetable. They're easy to eat. But if you're going to have a variety of fruits and vegetables that are colorful, they're perishables, and perishables are more expensive. Canned fruits and vegetables are okay, but they're not as good. They don't have the vitamins. They don't have the minerals because, among other things, they have been cooked and so on. So canned fruits and vegetables are not necessarily as good as others. So the bottom line is money does make a difference. Unfortunately, it makes a difference in whether or not you can follow a good Mediterranean diet. So the Med diet is the king of diets, but there's the Mediterranean diet and there's the better Mediterranean diet. In other words, just like you can have canned green beans, or you can have fresh green beans. You can have a wonderful peach, or you can have canned peaches. And we know that things that are fresh are better, and you may have to pay a little more money for fresh food, but that's one of the variables that's in here.
Right. And one of the staples of the Mediterranean diet is, of course, fish. And that can cost some money. Fish can get expensive.
You bet. Fish is definitely more expensive. So one of the things you want to do is you want to look for a variety of sales, and then you want to stock up. If you've got a freezer at home, take the fish, bring it home, freeze it. You want to be able to buy things more in season. Why? Because when things are in season, which you can do, we'll say, for half the year or three quarters of the year in Wisconsin, it's going to be cheaper. So in the middle of the winter, we don't have a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables, but we have root vegetables, you know, which will last for long periods of time. Frozen foods are better than canned foods always, and a lot of frozen foods really are packed with nutrition because they were picked at the height of their season. And look for affordable alternatives. So olive oil is the staple of the Mediterranean diet, but if we look at canola oil, it's really very, very good. And if you look at olive oil priced at a store, you know, that's a wonderful store, you can also find often an olive oil that is a little bit cheaper for you and a little bit better.
My five-year-old, I just gave some olive oil to the other day. It was kind of an experiment. I took one of those sweet Hawaiian rolls, you know, those King's Hawaiian rolls that come in the big package, and I had him dip it into a little bowl of olive oil. I wasn't sure how it was going to go. He loved it.
Huh? Yeah. He loved it.
Yeah, that's healthy, right? Giving your kid oil and bread.
How cool.
800-462-7413 is the number to call. That's 1-800-462-7413 if you'd like to leave us a voicemail. Let's get back to some more of those voicemails now. Here's a caller. It's a concerned caller in Wisconsin.
Hello, Dr. Zorba. Thank you for still doing your show, and you've always done a wonderful show. I'm a longtime listener and big-time fan, and my question is about PPE for the medics. I have relatives who are ER doctors and one state and nurse practitioner in another state. They're near and dear to me, and I've been trying to help them by finding some N95 masks, specifically either N95 or KN95. I've gone to welding supply places, paint suppliers, of course the medical places and Walgreens. They're the first ones that are out of it, and they've been out of it, and they're still out of it. And these young kids who are doing a hero's job are trying to make their own equipment. Is this possible in this country that after all these months, we still haven't supplied the medics with the proper tools to do the job? I'll take my rant outside, and I'll gladly listen to you. Thanks again. Bye.
Yeah, take it outside and shout it into the COVID era. And the answer is yes, it's obviously happening. We should have enough personal protective equipment, and we don't. Why? Well, supply chains weren't involved. We often have the PPEs that are produced in other countries, and right now they're taking care of themselves. They're not taking care of, you know, they're not sending it over here because they're taking care of it themselves. It has to do with manufacturing, distribution, federal distribution, and so on. We could go on and on and on because we all know that it is a big problem that has not been properly addressed in the past and still is not properly addressed now. We need to manufacture and have personal protective equipment with us, and certainly moving forward in the future, we have to stockpile it. Hey, we stockpile oil because we have this strategic oil reserve. We stockpile other things. Remember during anthrax, we ended up stockpiling a vaccine for that, and we've got to stockpile personal protective equipment, which I hope we do in the future.
At your clinic, are you having a shortage at all of PPE?
We're okay in our clinic, and that's because we had some that was actually stockpiled prior to this, not certainly to the extent, but our group definitely has been able to handle it, hasn't been able to have enough PPE so that we can function in a safe manner. And that's the whole goal. How do you function in a safe manner so you're protecting yourself and you're protecting a patient that you come into contact with?
800-462-7413 is the number to call. That's 1-800-462-7413. Let's hear from a caller in Wisconsin Dells.
I'm wondering if the medical community is thinking ahead and planning for the baby boom boom or the COVID boom. That's probably going to happen 9 months from now. What do you think?
Well, let's see. Let's make sure that we open up those OB suites so the babies can actually come. You know, this happened back in New York City in 1967 or something like that. I can't remember when there was a blackout in New York City for 2 days, and then there was a boomlet that occurred 9 months later.
So
yeah, we're going to have a COVID boomlet. That's exactly it. You know, it's late at night. Of course, the reality is you still have electricity. So it's when the electricity goes out and there wasn't much in terms on television that the boomlet occurred in New York. Now you've got streaming and a bunch of other things, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. Yes, there probably will be a boomlet that occurs, a post-COVID boomlet.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. All right, before we head out today, Zorba, let's check in again with your favorite do-gooders and backseat drivers. This is the Grammar Police. Actually, Zorba, this is the alcohol police for this one. We don't hear from them very often, but every once in a while.
Are they the alcohol or the abstainer police?
Well, you'll have to just listen to this one. So recently on the Zorba Pastor On Your Health Facebook page, you had posted a recipe for DIY hand sanitizer using the liquor found in stores. It's called Everclear.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right.
Well, Rick in Springfield, Missouri, offered up some clarification regarding Everclear, as well as a little shopping tip. He writes, Everclear 190 proof is 95% alcohol, not 100%. It is a brand name of a rectified spirit. It is made from grain and is bottled at 120, 151, 189, and 190 proof, which is 60%, 75.5%, 94.5%, and 95% alcohol by volume, respectively. So, 32 ounces of 91% rubbing alcohol is about $5. However, 25 ounces of 190 proof Everclear is $18 at my local liquor store, says Rick.
Right. That is, well, I guess that's correct. I really haven't shopped.
Did you follow all that?
I did buy Everclear. Yeah, well, you know, I've got my thinking cap on
a lot
like
of numbers.
That. You know, a lot of numbers. So go on.
That's actually the end of his email.
That's it. Well, thank you very much. You know, the reality is trying to get to a 70% solution was kind of the issue because rubbing alcohol was sort of out of stock. Now, it's easier to get rubbing alcohol. I've gone to the grocery store. You can actually get hand sanitizer in small amounts now. But the idea was that roughly equal parts Everclear, 95% proof, rather 95%, which is 180 or 190 proof Everclear, and vodka was approximately what you needed for your hand. Now, once again, we're looking at what the feds and what the CDC recommended, and that got pretty close, I would say pretty close.
And actually, we've heard from Rick in Springfield before. He was featured on the program before, And I just can't help think of the 80s singer, Rick Springfield.
Got it.
This is Rick in Springfield, mm-hmm. Missouri. But so I couldn't resist this opportunity to create a mashup of Rick Springfield's biggest hit song mixed with a song from the 90s rock band Everclear. So there was a band in the 90s called Everclear.
Really?
Yep.
Unbelievable.
And of course, there's Rick Springfield. Jesse's Girl was his big hit. So I made a mashup. Do you know what a mashup is?
No.
So you take two songs and you kind of collide them in mm-hmm. different ways to make, I guess, a unique mix of, yeah. To be honest, Zorba, I was a little on the fence if I should even play this because it was, I actually flipped the coin.
And go for it, Carol.
Stupidity won. So here you go.
Jesse is a friend. Yeah, I know he's been a good friend of mine. But lately something's changed. It ain't hard to define. Jesse's got himself a girl and I want to make her mine.
With my big black boots and an old suitcase, I do believe I'll find myself a new place.
I don't know if that was worth it, Zorba, but
I think
yeah.
It was worth it. Hey, anytime we have creativity in this time of COVID, it's a worthwhile time.
I played that for my wife, Christine, actually, you know, before the show, and her first comment was, I think that's a little long. I think you should cut that down. But I didn't, and there it is. Anyways, thanks again for all the Facebook comments and questions. And again, let's keep an eye on Zorba's Facebook page for the latest from him surrounding the pandemic. And, of course, you can always send us an old-fashioned email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
Maybe see you next week, Zorba.
Stay well, Tom. You will see me.
All right. Am I Tom now? Is that what you call me? If you missed anything during the show or you just want to download our show podcast, visit us on the web at
ZorbaFaster.org and, of course, through Facebook.
And don't forget, you can call us anytime to leave us your question at 800-462-7413. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is me, Carl Christensen, and our technical director is Brad Kohlberg. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor and Tom Clark, I'm Carl Christensen, asking you to join us on the next Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
Did you miss something on today's show? Simply go to ZorbaPastor.org to catch up on all things Zorba. There you will find recipes from the show, links to the Facebook page, Zorba's Healthy Living articles, and you can subscribe to the weekly podcast. On the web, that's ZorbaPastor.org.